Well, good morning, everyone. This may be the most important lesson I'll ever teach you. I realize that's quite a statement, but I was thinking that way when I was putting this lesson together. So I hope that you take it to heart. It's going to be, what is the most important thing in prayer? And if you'll turn to Psalms 27, we'll get started. What is the most important thing in prayer? Psalms 27, starting at the fourth verse. One thing I have asked from the Lord, that I shall seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. This is through prayer that he's speaking about, I do believe. That I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. That through prayer I shall seek to behold the beauty of the Lord, that is in his presence in prayer, and to meditate in his temple, which we are. For in the day of trouble, he will conceal me in his tabernacle. And it may not conceal my body. It may be out here with all the trouble. But my soul, in the secret place of his tent, he will hide me. My body may be exposed, but he can hide my soul with him as I go to him in prayer. He will lift me up on a rock, the same rock that followed them in the wilderness. And now my head will be lifted up above my enemies. Now I'll have the upper hand in this battle. I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy, with the sacrifice of the fruit of my lips. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. You know, singing and prayer are one. We're talking about private prayer here. You and God alone together. Singing and praying go together. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, and be gracious to me and answer me. You know, prayer is a two-way conversation. You send to God, answer me, be gracious and answer me. When you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, O Lord, I shall seek. This is the most important thing I believe in prayer, is to seek the face of God. Let's go to Psalms 42. Psalms 42, verse 1. As the deer pants for the water brooks, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? It's in prayer. It's in private prayer. It's where my thirst is going to be satisfied. I was out hunting once on Steve's farm. Great big old huge buck coming at me. And he'd been running for some time. They were shooting all over the place. And he was just a panting. Well, this is the idea you get, this panting for the water brooks, though. My soul thirsts, pants. This is seeking the Lord as a deer pants for water in prayer. In Psalms 63... starting in verse 1. O God, you are my God. I shall seek you earnestly. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh yearns for you in a dry and a weary land where there is no water. This is where we go in prayer to get the living water. And my soul thirsts, and I go to God for this living water. Thus I have seen you in the sanctuary, that is, in prayer, to see your power and your glory. Because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips will praise you. So I will bless you as long as I live. I will lift up my hands in your name. Do you recognize that? They put that to song. And so when I'm reading God's word and I'm speaking to the Lord, the Spirit, Holy Spirit brings this to me. Because your loving kindness is better than life. Your loving kindness is better than life. My lips will praise you, so I will bless you. As long as I live, I will lift up my hands in your name. And so you're praying to God. You're speaking his word to him. And then the Holy Spirit brings a song from the message to you. And so you take time in your heart or with your lips and you sing to the Lord as you're having this time of communion together. My soul, verse 5, is satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth offers praise with joyful lips. When I remember you on my bed, I meditate on you in the night watches, for you have been my help, and in the shadow of your wings I sing for joy. In his presence with praise is where we will find our help. Jesus had told us that do not fear those who can kill the body, but then they can do no more. It matters not what your body may be going through. It matters not what the persecution at the time may be. Your soul, your heart, your mind can escape and be hid with God in this sacred time together. It is your refuge. It is your way to escape. In Psalms 46, starting in verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. And where do we find this? When do we get this help that we need? In prayer. In this private prayer. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth should change, though the mountains slip into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains quake at its swelling pride. Selah. Selah means stop and meditate on that. Let's go to Psalms 32. Starting in verse 5. I acknowledged my sin to you, and my iniquity I did not hide. I said, I will confess my transgression to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. Selah. Therefore, having confessed any sin, therefore, let everyone who is godly pray to you in a time when you may be found. If you try to hide your sins, the proverb tells us, you shall not prosper. But whoever confesses and forsakes them shall have mercy. And so this is the time after you have confessed any transgressions. This is a time that God may be found. Surely, in a flood of great waters, they will not reach him. You are my hiding place. You preserve me from trouble. It's in the stronghold. This is a stronghold that you've entered into. It's a hiding place. Now, your body may not escape with you, not right away, but you can escape. He says, you preserve me from trouble. It preserves your soul, your heart, your mind, while you're even suffering. You surround me with songs of deliverance. Do you realize that songs are for deliverance? You ever wonder why the old Negro spiritual songs, what they're all about? Deliverance. A people been persecuted, a people in slavery, many hardships. And they would deliver their souls through these deep spiritual songs. Songs are for deliverance. So important that it's a part of your life. And while you're praying, you surround me with songs of deliverance. Selah. I will instruct you and teach you in the way which you should go. Is thy word a lamp to my feet and a light to my path? I will counsel you with my eye upon you, because God is our present help. He is our refuge, he is our strength, and a very present help in time of need. So, songs of deliverance. It's why it's so important that you learn spiritual songs. Hide them in your heart like you would the Word of God. Because in times of suffering, this is what's going to give you joy, freedom. Do you realize in Acts 16:25, when Paul and Silas were in jail, they had already been delivered before the chains fell off them and the gates were opened? Because it says they were singing songs. They were singing songs of deliverance while locked up in the jail. And the other prisoners were listening to them. They were already delivered in their soul, in their heart, in their mind. They had joy because they knew songs of deliverance. So important that you know the hymns, the songs, because you may need them. Just as important as hiding the word in your heart, hide the songs in your heart. I believe God intended for that, as we're seeing here. Let's look at Psalms 18. Psalms 18, starting in verse 16. He sent me from on high. He took me. He drew me out of many waters. Waters are trouble a lot of times, folks, in the scriptures. He delivered me from my strong enemy and from those who hated me, for they were too mighty for me. They confronted me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my stay. He brought me forth also into a broad place. He rescued me because he delighted in me. Ah. God delighted in me, says. That's why he rescued me. And where does this delight come from? But such a fellowship as what we're speaking about today. A fellowship with God. This time of communing with God. God delights in you when you do that. Let's look at Psalms 37. Psalms 37, verse 4. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Now, he delights in you, we've just seen. Now, he says, you delight in him. Commit your ways to the Lord. Make the commitment. Commit your ways to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he will do it. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light and your judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who carries out wicked schemes. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret. It leads only to evil doing, but evildoers will be cut off. But those who wait for the Lord, they will inherit the land. Where do you find rest? When do you find rest? Is it not in your time of prayer? Is that not when peace comes over your heart? Is that not the time to quit fretting? God says, why are you fretting about the rich and all that they do? Why are you fretting about the wicked and all that they do? Do not fret. It only leads to evil. But wait for the Lord. Patiently wait for the Lord. And where am I waiting for the Lord? Is it not in prayer? I believe it is. Delight works both ways, and this waiting is done in prayer. So, instead of just praying in formal situations out of a sense of obligation or duty, such as we pray here when we're together, and that's good. But how about for the delight of just spending time with God privately? God delights in that. And so should we. Let's look at 1 Kings 19. 1 Kings 19 and verse 11. So he said, go forth and stand on the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord was passing by. And a great and strong wind was rending the mountains and breaking in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a sound of a gentle blowing. When Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entrance of the cave. And behold, a voice came to him and said, when you read God's word to him in prayer, read God's word to him in prayer. I love going to the Psalms and reading the Psalms back to God. When you read God's word to him, you read it, you speak to God back in your own words then what it means to you. What did he just say to you? What did that mean to you? Tell God. Say back what it meant to you. And then listen. Be still. Listen. A still small voice as the whistling through a mild breeze will speak to you. Read God's word to him, and then tell him what it means to you. Maybe he'll give you a song at that point you can sing, and then listen. Let's look at John 14:27. Jesus says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful." Prayer provides us with rest and peace. When we get all worked up about one thing or another, we need to go to our prayer closet, where God will soothe our souls and bring us peace. In Luke chapter 6, in verse 12, it says, "It was at this time," speaking about Jesus, "that he went off to the mountain to pray, and he spent the whole night in prayer to God." He went off up to the mountain by himself to pray. Prayer is the means of strength and power and encouragement when you go and speak to your Father about the trials that lie ahead of you. That's what Jesus did. Let's go to Exodus 33. Verse 7. "Now Moses used to take the tent and pitch it outside the camp, a good distance from the camp. And he called it the tent of meeting. And everyone who sought the Lord would go out to the tent of meeting, which was outside the camp. And it came about, whenever Moses went out to the tent, that all the people would arise and stand, each at the entrance of his tent, and gaze after Moses until he entered the tent. Whenever Moses entered the tent, the pillar of cloud would descend and stand at the entrance of the tent, and the Lord would speak with Moses. When all the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the entrance of the tent, all the people would arise and worship, each at the entrance of his tent. Thus the Lord used to speak to Moses face to face, just as a man speaks to his friend. When Moses returned to the camp, his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, would not depart from the tent." So what we see here is an example of private prayer outside the assembly, outside the camp, seeking God's face as a friend. And we see here that Joshua, who was the next leader after Moses, stayed behind longer for his talk with God. And so we see here that this is where leaders are developed, in your time along with God. Jesus' words come to mind here, where those come to him saying, "Lord, Lord." And he says, "I never knew you." Do we spend time along with God, friend to friend, face to face? Does he know you that way? Because if he does, he'll surely know you on that day. Exodus 34, starting at verse 29. It came about when Moses was sitting down, was coming down from Mount Sinai, and the two tablets of the testimony were in Moses' hand as he was coming down from the mountain, that Moses did not know that the skin of his face shone because of his speaking with him. So when Aaron and all the sons of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come near him. Then Moses called to them, and Aaron and all the rulers in the congregation returned to him, and Moses spoke to them. Afterwards, all the sons of Israel came near, and he commanded them to do everything that the Lord had spoken to him on Mount Sinai. When Moses had finished speaking with them, he put a veil over his face. But whenever Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he would take off the veil until he came out. And whenever he came out and spoke to the sons of Israel what had been commanded, the sons of Israel would see the face of Moses, that the skin of Moses' face shone. So Moses would replace the veil over his face until he went in to speak with him. So we see that it was not just when Moses went up on the mountain to receive the word of God that his face shone, but every time he went in to speak with the Lord, there was this reflection taking place. This was a reflection of God's glory and a shadow of the transformation that would take place in us. As we look at 2 Corinthians 3:18. But we all with unveiled face, see, just like Moses would unveil his face when he went in to speak with the Lord. But we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord the Spirit. When we pray God's word back to him, he is the one that's actually speaking first. Think about that. When we're praying God to God, praying his word back to him, this is a conversation. And he's the one speaking first. And thus, as he speaks, we are transformed by the Spirit of God as we gaze into the mirror of his words. Moses was a shadow of that by the reflection that shone off of him. So first and foremost, prayer is about fellowship and seeking God's face. Did you think it was about going and asking God for things? It's about relationship. Then, there is a place there, though, that we can petition our Father and make our request known. If after spending time with God in prayer to get strength for the battle, if you find you're still being defeated, here's what we know. If you turn to Joshua chapter 7. Joshua chapter 7, start verse 11. Israel has sinned. They have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them, and they have taken some of the things under the ban and have both stolen and deceived. Moreover, they have also put them among their own things. Therefore, the sons of Israel cannot stand before their enemies. They turn their backs. They're running away, if you can get the picture. They turn their backs before their enemies, for they have become accursed. I will not be with you anymore, unless you destroy the things under the ban from your midst. Rise up, consecrate the people, and say, consecrate yourselves for tomorrow, for thus the Lord, the God of Israel, has said, there are things under the ban in your midst, O Israel. You cannot stand before your enemies until you have removed the things under the ban from your midst. There was sin in the camp. If you're losing your battle, Scripture says, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Know you not your own selves. How that Christ Jesus be in you, except you be a reprobate. Is there sin in the camp? That may be why you're losing the battle. Or, Deuteronomy chapter 1, another reason might be, Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 42. And the Lord said to me, say to them, do not go up nor fight, for I am not among you. Otherwise, you will be defeated before your enemies. We want to make sure that the thing that we're doing is the will of the Lord and that He goes with us. Because if not, we will be defeated in the thing we're doing. So check for sin in the camp and make sure what you're doing is the will of the Lord and He's with you if you're finding defeat. If you, as dear children, seek the face of your Father, He will supply all your needs according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus. I'm going to ask Charlotte to come up. We're going to sing a song to close this lesson, number 23. And while she's coming up, I'm going to read in closing Philippians 4, 19. I'm sorry, Philippians 4, 6. Make that 5. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. You see, if we don't have that gentle spirit, we need to say, why? What am I anxious about? Because He says, let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing. So if we're finding ourselves anxious about things, not having the gentle spirit that comes from being in the presence of God, then we know that we're not in His presence enough. If you would turn with me in number 23 in your songbook, we're going to close with this song. Sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer that calls me from a world Father's throne, make all my wants and wishes known. In seasons of distress and grief, my soul has often found relief. escape the tempter's snare by thy return. Sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer, thy wings shall my petition bear to him whose truth and faithfulness engage the waiting soul to bless. And since he bids me seek his face, believe his word and trust his grace, I'll cast on him my every care and wait for thee, sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer. May I thy consolation share till from Mount Pisgah's lofty height I view my home and take my flight. This robe of flesh I'll drop and rise to seize the everlasting prize, and shout while passing through